number 161. We will endeavor to complete this tonight with the Lord's help. Let us, if you have access to that, say this together after the question. How do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? The sacraments become effectual means of salvation not by any power in themselves or any virtue derived from the piety or intention of him by whom they are administered, but only by the working of the Holy Ghost and the blessing of Christ by whom they are instituted. Now, I'm going to make an admission, a confession here in regard to this. The first few times that I read or recited the shorter catechism version of this, I'm going to turn in the shorter catechism to number 85, number 88, and number 91 in the shorter catechism. And I'll just admit to you, the first time I read these or recited them, they scared me. And I'm going to say why. Because after growing up in a system of religious doctrine and practice that was able to turn faith into a work. What does that mean? That means that we prayed a prayer, and then when we had doubts about it, where were we directed? We were directed back to our prayer. You prayed that prayer. And that was a religious work. And that's where my confidence was to be placed in for my salvation and for my assurance and for everything else in what I have done. Ooh. So coming up in a system that in its doctrine and practice that was able to turn faith into a work, I was very leery and suspicious of anything that seemed to be either works righteousness or faith in a ritual. So let's back up to number 85 in the shorter catechism. What doth God require of us that we may escape His wrath and curse due to us for sin? This is really good. To escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin, God requireth of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, with the diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption. Oh, so what are all these outward means? Okay. All right. The outward means. Here we have it in number 88. If you look at number 88, it describes what these outward means are. What are the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicateth to us, gives to us the benefits of redemption? The answer, the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption are His ordinances. Here they are, especially the Word, sacraments, and prayer, all which are made effectual to the elect for salvation. Okay, so His ordinances, His Word and prayer, including the sacraments, are made effectual to us for salvation. Okay, look at number 91. Number 91. How do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? This actually has something that our larger catechism, number 161, does not have. Number 91, The sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them. Here's what is not in our number 161. That by faith receive them. Okay. So we're not going to rush through this. Let's get a very clear understanding of the terms that are used. If you look back in your larger catechism to number 155, here it is. How is the Word made effectual to salvation? Well, I didn't have any problem with this one. And even in the shorter catechism, I didn't have a problem with it because we were always taught that you're going to be saved, it's going to be by the Word of God. So here, number 155, how is the Word made effectual to salvation? The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means, I put in here in mind, of salvation. Okay, enlightening, convincing, and humbling sinners. Praise God. The Spirit takes the Word and He humbles us. And I love this part. Driving them out of themselves. We got to be driven out of ourselves. And drawing them unto Christ. Okay, there is our conversion. There is our entering into justification. But then, here are other things that the Word's going to do. Of conforming them to His image. Making us like Him. And subduing them to His will. Are we not still being subdued to His will? The more that we see, the more the Spirit of God is subduing us to God's will. Of strengthening them against temptations and corruptions. And I'm always needing the strength against temptation and corruptions that are within. Of building them up in grace and establishing their hearts in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. There is our sanctification. Okay, the Word of God not only brings us by the Spirit does not only bring us to salvation in the conversion of our souls, but continues to work in various aspects as an effectual means of salvation. Okay. Now, as Bible-believing Protestants, we hold a very high view of the Holy Scriptures. We believe that the very words, the jots and the tittles are God-breathed, pure, divine truth. Yet we believe that the Scriptures are a means. In our larger catechism, number 154, what are the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of His mediation? Number 154, the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to His church the benefits of Christ's mediation are all His ordinances, especially the Word, sacraments, and prayer. Yeah, that's what we saw also in the shorter catechism, which are made effectual to the elect for their salvation. Now, you see that the Word is a means. This is a means that God uses. This is not the end. This is the means. We must use the means to be saved. If you don't use the means, if you don't hear the Word, or if you don't read the Word, you're not going to be saved. But many people use the means and never come to Christ in faith. So you see the means, the Word. There are probably millions of people that have used the means and maybe even regularly read the Word of God, and they're lost forever today. It is never enough for you or for me just to use the means. To be born of God, there has to be more. The Holy Spirit has to use the means on us and in us. We've got to use the means, but so does the Holy Spirit have to use the means to birth us into Christ. And so the Spirit of God, number 155, is that great power. The new birth, you know, takes place with a combination of both the Word and the Spirit working together. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to turn over there. That is a very important passage, and then we'll quote some of what we've been so used to in the last several weeks, reading Christ's words about this very thing in Mark's Gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, there is described our new birth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. I would underline that word seed. But of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's some confusion in the religious world about the living Word. That Christ, this is the written Word, and Christ is the living Word. Nope. Christ is the incarnate living Word. And this is the inscripturated living Word. Let's go on and see that this is reality. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. Now continue in the context. Chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And this is obviously speaking about the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. For Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. And Jesus also said in Matthew 13:37, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So the Word of God is a means that is absolutely necessary, but it must be used. But not just that. Jesus said again in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus came out there, probably afraid to come in the daylight that he'd be seen. He came to Jesus by night, and Jesus said to him in John chapter 3 and verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to have a spiritual birth. You've got to be born of the Holy Spirit, he's saying. Okay, so the new birth by the Word and by the Spirit working jointly together in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives, places us into Christ. We are thereby in Christ, getting His righteousness imputed to us. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Abraham simply believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then chapter 5 of Romans verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who was made sin for us, though He knew no sin, that we might be made or accounted the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now there is our justification. But that's only a tiny part of our salvation. What question 161 is referring to is the broader scheme of our salvation. How do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? We are not born again by a sacrament. Now, justification is so overwhelmingly wonderful, but it is not all that salvation means. Look at Romans for a moment. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. You know it well. There's so many wonderful realities that are doctrines, but they are spiritual realities in the lives of God's people. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, the foreknowledge of God. God knew everything. This word means a little more than that. It means not only did he know, but the fact that God knew exactly means it was set. And for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Just a quick run of the doctrine of salvation. Now, here we have God's foreknowledge, his predestination, and he called. That is effectual calling is spoken of here. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, using the Word and bringing us to the end of ourselves, driving us out of ourselves to Christ. Okay. Effectual calling, and whom he called, he also justified. There's our justification. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There is our glorification. Now, no one that God foreknew and predestinated to salvation can possibly end up lost or damned forever. He knew, he foreknew, he foreordained, he predestinated. But look, in that predestination, the same God that foreordained the end also foreordained the means. He foreordained every one of those morning devotions you've ever had. He foreordained all of those prayers that you prayed over your meals. He foreordained all those prayers that you've said in the morning or at night or whenever you prayed. He foreordained all of these things as means that he's using. How's he using them? Is he using them for your justification? No. He's using them for your sanctification. He's using them for your perseverance. Because effectual calling, justification, adoption, sanctification, perseverance, and glorifications are all parts of this wonderful salvation. And you know the term salvation, sometimes it throws us off. Okay, now there's a part of our salvation that the Spirit of God is talking about in this one verse. See if you can guess which one he's talking about. In Romans 13:11, the apostle said by the Holy Spirit, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. When we believed, we were justified. We were brought into Christ. But what salvation is he talking about being nearer than when we believed? That's it. He's talking about our glorification. So see, when we see the term salvation, sacraments become effectual means of salvation, it's not saying that a sacrament is the means of our justification. Let us not think that the sacraments are effectual means of our justification. Even though, historically, a few well-known people like Susanna Wesley and Solomon Stoddard were actually converted at a communion service. But the mistaken practice of the halfway covenant in New England can be traced to the false idea that the Lord's Supper is a converting ordinance. Because the Pope of the Connecticut Valley, the Protestant Pope, Solomon Stoddard, had such influence. He said, look, I was saved at the communion table, so all these other people, we need to let them come because they can be saved there just like I was. Dr. Gordon Cook points out that the Lord's Supper is not a converting ordinance. And the Lord's Supper is especially a support to our sanctification, to our assurance, to our perseverance in grace. Oh, how wonderful that we have the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. So let us think of our question now. How about our answer? Number 161, how did the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? The sacraments become effectual means of salvation not by any power in themselves. The Westminster Forefathers were taking a big broadside blow at Roman Catholic doctrine right at that point. The doctrine of opus operatum. Cardinal Bellarmine, very well-known Roman Catholic theologian, said that simply by performing a sacrament, simply by a priest performing a sacrament, all of those present receive the grace of that sacrament conferred to them, even if they have no faith or repentance in their life. Okay? Our larger catechism is saying no to that. No sacrament has an inherent power of conferring grace in itself. It's got to be a matter of faith. It's got to be a matter of the Holy Spirit working for there to be any real grace received. Now, otherwise, if it weren't that way, anyone that had any participation whatsoever in the sacrament would be blessed and, you know, of course some people believe in baptismal regeneration. Some of our neighbors and folks around us, you know, they believe that if you're baptized by their minister, you're in. But I want us to turn to the book of Acts for a moment. We're in Romans. Just turn back a little bit to Acts chapter 8. And you see how wonderful it was that the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing because he had a real experience with the Lord. But there's another guy here. Not just the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, Philip is preaching in Samaria, and there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Look down at verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Look down at verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered the money. Okay, here you go. Here's the money. I want this power. Saying, give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. This guy was baptized. He said he believed. He had an historical faith, not a saving faith. So he's perishing. Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Now Peter puts the nail in right here. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. You are still held in your sin. Your sin has dominion over you. That's not been broken. You've been amazed by what's going on. So we understand that simply by going through a sacrament, participating in a sacrament, that there is no inherent power to confer grace, whether edifying, strengthening grace or saving grace. Otherwise, all those baptized with or in water would be saved. Guaranteed. Okay. So the sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not by any power in themselves. No inherent power. Or any virtue derived from the piety or intention of him by whom they are administered. Okay, let's pause there. A sacrament is not effectual because of who administers the sacrament. According to Roman Catholic doctrine, the only way that the sacrament will work in Bellarmine's way that he declared it would work. Okay. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the only way the sacrament's going to work, as Bellarmine said, is if the presiding priest intends in his heart to bless the people. If the priest has had a bad day, if he's angry with any of those attending the Mass, or if he just feels unconcerned at that time, then no grace will be given to those who have come to the Mass or any of Rome's false sacraments. Literally, they have just wasted their time and wasted their money. Okay. Now notice, we're going to finish this very quickly. Now, it's not... A sacrament is not effectual because of the piety or intention of him by whom they are administered. Now, many years ago, a lady went to a communion service in Scotland. And that particular service, there was a very famous minister who was assisting in the communion service, actually speaking at the table. His name was the Scottish minister Ebenezer Erskine. And this lady was so impressed by his preaching at the Lord's table that, having found out who he was, she went the next Sabbath day to his place of worship to hear him. But she felt none of those strong impressions she had experienced when she had heard him speaking at the communion service. So, wondering about this, after the service, she went to speak to Reverend Erskine, and she said, "I was so moved in hearing the message there at the Lord's table, and I've come to hear you today, and I really feel nothing." Well, he replied, "Madam, the reason is very clear. Last Sabbath day you went to hear Jesus Christ, but today you came to hear Ebenezer Erskine." So, all right. So, you see that even as our shorter catechism, number 91, says, it's not only by the blessing of Christ who has given us baptism and the Lord's Supper, but it's also by the working of the Holy Spirit and in them that by faith receive them. It's a matter of your own faith and your relationship with the Lord in experiencing and enjoying these sacraments.